when you spend time with people you normally wouldn't. I want your heart to be prepared to talk to people and not try to skid around the subject, but just get right in and be able to share a word with them. So we're going to read the 14th verse, the third chapter. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither could cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We'll read the rest of that in just a second, but I want to talk about a couple things here, and I'm here to speak the word of life into your heart. So when we read about the cold or hot waters, you read about some of the neighboring cities of Laodicea. And one of those cities was known as Hierapolis. The city of Hierapolis was known for its hot water, known for its healing power, like a spa-like water that was about it. And hallelujah. And then there's another city that's called Colossae, and it was known for its pure and cold drinking water. It was refreshing to go to the city and to drink of it, and it was refreshing to your heart. So there was neighboring cities that was by Laodicea, but Laodicea's water was quite different in that time. It was nauseous. It wasn't drinkable. It wasn't able to be consumed by anybody. And I begin to think about the revelation that came out to my heart, and I think, Lord, God would want us cold or hot, because if we're hot and on fire, there is healing power in the hot water. Hallelujah. There is healing power when you're on fire for God. And hallelujah, when you think about the cold water that you read there, there's something about a refreshing, something about that quenching of your thirst in the middle of a 90-degree day, that touch of water that only water can do. You could drink pop, you could drink Gatorade that claims that it can do the same thing, but how many of us know there's plenty of substitutes at church? Plenty of substitutes, but hallelujah, He wants us to have that cold provision for somebody that when they are thirsty tonight, that they get what they need to go on out in life. Now let's get to the lukewarm part. When we consider that, if we're not providing something that's on fire to bring healing, or if we're not giving something that's cold and refreshing to somebody, then we get in what we call the lukewarm state. Hallelujah. We're not able to provide healing for somebody's life, and we're not able to give refreshment. In other words, it's the sound of church, or it's the appearance of church without the ability to perform its work. The substance loses its ability to do its work. And that word of God was coming out in my heart, and I think, Lord, in the times when we're around people, help me that my vessel would be full. That when somebody needs me to give something that will help them, whether the time will come that I will be on fire and with hot water to help heal them into the name of Christ, or if they're so thirsty and barren and haven't had a refreshing drink of water in so long that they've just are going to perish, help me to be ready for the time that I will give the word of God. And we often miss the opportunities to witness in the holidays, and we skip around being able to be a witness, but telling somebody something every now and then that's going to bring them provision is lukewarm work. It's not going to be drinkable. They're not going to be able to consume that work. And even in the church of Laodicea at this time, they said that they were rich, that they were full, that they had all that they needed. But the words that came out that was given to them right here, it says that thou art wretched. Hallelujah. There is nothing in our lives that is good without God in it. Hallelujah. We were sinners, but by His blood we're covered. So what do you give to somebody that's wretched? You encourage them to buy of gold tried in the fire. You encourage them to be faithful in a time of trouble. You encourage them to come forward and believe God for the provision of their life. Hallelujah, we're giving people a substitute gold. And after a while, if you wear fake gold, it wears a ring on you. In other words, it's going to show up when it's not the real thing in your life. And if you want God, you've got to be faithful. You can't say that you know God, come to church on Sunday and have a hallelujah shout without being able to trust God. God, in the weeks ahead when that would wear green and not have normal substance, God will do a work in your life when you put your faith and trust in Him. Hallelujah. We were wretched. How many of us were wretched before God? Hallelujah. We all were. Another word that you read there, miserable and poor. What was the revelation that He gave there? He said, try the gold that you be rich. Rich in who? In Him. And it says, in white raiment. When we walk in our own nakedness, there is something to be said about spiritual nakedness. Hallelujah. There's a white raiment that goes on about you that was cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And when you wear that, there is no shame. Hallelujah. That could destroy your life. You don't have to look back on what you were, but you look at what you are covered by the raiment of the Almighty God. It's something that will keep you. It's something that you can walk with, that when people see you, they won't see the shame that you were. They'll see the joy that you are. Covered. Cleansed. Hallelujah. Not poor. People that wore raiment in those times was someone that was depicted as rich. I'm wearing my raiment tonight with pride. I'm wearing my garment tonight with pride. Give me 5 people or give me 50. You're going to hear the word the same, because my raiment don't change whether I have a great attendance or not. My joy don't change whether you come together or not. The raiment is still the same. The covering is there to help you with spiritual nakedness when you're exposed and vulnerable. The covering of the blood of Christ will protect you. It will protect you in your time of need. What else were they here? How many of us are in one of these qualities? I know I am. That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that they mayest what? See. Spiritual blindness is destroying our lives. We can blame it on so many things, but when we're blind and are not applying the salve of the power of the Spirit of God, listen, you can be more aware of the enemy if you watch and pray. We preach this Friday. We've got to return to being a house of prayer. Hallelujah. We've got to apply that so we are not blind and blindsided by things. Because if we're not prepared and being able to see something that may be coming to try us, it may overwhelm you, and where you're not able to enjoy and adorn the garment that you're wearing. Power of God will seep away from you because you're leading yourself into a place that you do not belong. You're leading yourself in situations that you should have never been in. Because if you were really looking with the discernment of the Holy Spirit, you'd know that you should not be there, should not say that, should not do that. Nobody has to debate that with you. You don't have to counsel with your preacher to know. If you pray and seek God, He will lead you where you need to be. I was blind, but now I see. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He used the door in this parable because there's something about the urgency of always being ready to hear the knock. If I'm asleep, more than likely I'm not going to hear when God would call. Hallelujah. He stands at the door and He's waiting and He's ready. And there's people that you've got to be ready, that when God knocks on your heart, that you'll be able to open a door for them and say, there is a way out of your present trouble. There is provision for your life when you are in lack. Hallelujah. We have to realize that if we do not get out of being spiritually blind, spiritually naked and ashamed of who we are, that we will have no power, no joy, no peace. Oh, and the Most High God. And when I'm telling you tonight, my life is so much better because I realized that I was blind and I needed God to lead me. I needed Him to guide me. And there's going to be a church one day, I know with all my heart, that's finally going to come together. And in that time, the Lord will call for His children. But while we're waiting, it's time that we put on the things that God has given. Hallelujah. That we don't get to a place where we're satisfied and feel rich in worldly possessions. I'm all right. I'm happy. I'm settling for life as it is. I'm just going to take it as it's been given to me. I'm not going to use the blood of Christ that I be changed. That's not where God wants us. That's not where God wants us. It's certainly not where He wants our witness either. He wants us to be able to already come in clothed. Or as the word says, in our right mind. Right mind will take you further than a mind that's troubled. I've had my mind troubled and not be able to do the basic things that I would normally do at work. A troubled mind is tossed to and fro. And if we're not delivering the goods that God had intended, the hot and cold waters, the healing power of God through what we bring, then we're just being satisfied in our own riches. Brother Jared, I fought and scrapped for this car, and I've got it. I don't need another one. I've got this house, and I've got a decent job. I don't need to move up any higher. I am where I am. But listen, the Word of God, when you're satisfied, it's not talking about just settling for your trouble as it is. It's talking about in the midst of trouble, being able to say, all is well. It's being able to get your feet dug in and saying, God, I know this is not where you want me. I know there's better places, higher heights, deeper depths. There is a life for me to have in joy. I'm just now learning how to live in joy. Did you know that? I'm just now starting to learn what it feels like to have joy. Finally letting go of all the anger of not being able to do it all and saying I'm satisfied. God, if this is where you want me for now, I'll be here for now. But it's only for a season. It's only for a little while. I'm covered by so much of that raiment tonight by the blood of the Lamb. There is no form of hell that's ever going to touch me. God knows the hairs on your head. He knows where you are. Oh, how the joy of the Lord is there for you if you'll take it. Oh, if you just rise up and say, God, take my problems and I know I'm going to be all right. There's nothing, no weapon formed against you that prospers. But if we're vulnerable, it does. When we're vulnerable and don't trust God, it overwhelms us. It's just like a flood that comes through. Or in other words, the person, as it was referenced, that built their house upon the sand. Don't settle for substitutes. Don't give up in a prayer until you break through. Don't let somebody leave your presence until they know that you are concerned for their soul. Let them know that you're praying for them. Stop holding it back tonight. Stop holding it back. If you're praying for somebody, tell them. Tell them. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you're concerned. Tell them that you're calling out for them. They may persecute you, but Christ already gave us a word for that too. He said, I was persecuted first. Give them a word. Give them the cold provision. If they're thirsty, be able to swallow your pride. Swallow how you feel and where you're at in life to be able to consider another. That love of God says that greater hath no love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You won't lay down nothing unless you get rid of pride. Won't lay down anything unless God is first. I don't base things on what I see in my natural because I've learned that failed me a long time ago. I'm believing God for the things I pray for. The Word of God has taught me like this, to speak those things that are not as though they are. So you might not be praying for joy. You might be settling where you are, but I'm already praying that you're getting out of it. Hallelujah. I felt pins and needles in my heart pricking at me to change, and I could not hold on to anger or frustration any longer. Doris, I'm such a different person now. And I know there's more to come and more to change in me. And I know that God is going to have me shaped one day where I'm going to have a love that looks beyond all things. Because that's the end result. That's the end of where you'll be when you have love for your brother. And you prefer, there's no preference anymore in church. When you prefer somebody else over you, that you would prefer that they get their bills paid over you, that you prefer that they have food on your table. God will send food even if it's from heaven to make sure that you're fed. Hallelujah. When you prefer somebody as much that you'll back them when they step out to obey God, that God will send that back in for you. Even if you feel like nobody's in the room, He'll give you the support you're looking for. We've got to prefer one another and show love. There are lost people that you will see or hear or come in contact with, and they need something that's not lukewarm. Don't give them a website and tell them they hope they find salvation. And don't give them a card that reads that I prayed this prayer that I read. Give them something that's going to change their heart. Give them something that's going to make a difference. And what is that? Give them you. Give them what's living in you. Give them that living water. Living water has substance, Brent. It's something that comes alive in the times that it needs to. In times when there is death about you and there is no hope, you are the voice of hope. There might be a church service come up weeks up here and that somebody's going to have to be the voice of hope or the song of hope. And sometimes I feel like that I'm a voice of hope, but tonight I feel like that I'm preaching hope to you, because we don't need to be lukewarm, because we have so much of God. Oh, we're so blessed. Hallelujah. There's churches begging for piano players. And best of my knowledge, we have at least 4 to 5. And though churches are begging to be able to have new songs and old songs, but only play one style, but we've got it both. And even though you may have everything, unless your heart is set to worship, hallelujah, it don't mean anything. It turns lukewarm. There's no power in your life to enjoy what God has given. We've had so much preaching here, hallelujah. When you send that same preaching elsewhere, it's like revival. But sometimes you feel like that you're beating your head against the wall, because there's a lukewarm presence that gets in the house of God. Hallelujah. And God has sent a word. I know I could preach this same word many places and it wouldn't be took well, because nobody wants to know that they're in a lukewarm place. But tonight, when we are not hot and trying to bring people to healing, if we're not cold and giving them something when they're thirsty, then we are not dwelling in the power of God where we should be. Let's get to a place where we stop caring and give people what they need. I try to take advantage of church and enjoy the worship and everything, and enjoy the Word of God, because I know that my work is really done when I'm not here. When I have to put on my work outfit and I swipe my badge and I go sit in my seat and that first good morning from a stranger comes by, that's when the work begins. Did you get enough in your church service when you assembled that when that time comes, you have a good morning, that you have joy in your heart, that if they said, I don't know how I'm going to make it, that you say, well, let me help you. Let me help you. Oh, there's not any of that now. We're losing that part of us because we're getting lukewarm. And if I feel a little hot here or a little cold here, then I know that I at least am aware of God. But have Him in your life to where you can give it to somebody. God did not give you great things for you to keep it. He gave you great things so that you could use it for His glory. If He's blessed your business, blessed your family, then He is wanting you as a witness of God to bless others. If He's blessed you with a song, blessed you with the ability to praise the Lord, He's wanting you to do that so somebody else can be blessed. What good does it do, as Laodicea did, to sit in their riches and say, I know I can sing. I have money. I have a house. I made it. Woo! I made it. Dwelling in those riches will fade. Day you buy a vehicle, it's already beginning to rust underneath where you can't see. And although they're making great strides at trying to make things energy efficient, it's my honest belief that we can try to do everything in the world to dwell in those riches, but they will not prosper unless God is in the middle of it. We wonder why we make so many inventions. Listen, America is one of the greatest innovators and inventors in the world. But other countries are taking advantage of our profits. They reap the benefits. And it's my honest belief that if we would put God in things that we invent, and put God in everything that we partake of that is going to help us with our means, that we would begin to prosper. But we're losing that. Too much compromise here. Too much compromise there. And hallelujah, we're getting complacent where we are. I leave you with that thought tonight. And I want you to go out of here and say, Lord, what am I serving out to people? I remember when I was growing up as a kid, the place that's now the barbecue joint across from the hospital was named Chubby's. And I loved going there. They always served me the best fries. And it wasn't even about the fries looking back on it. It was just the feeling of getting that meal, that comfort food, right? The Word of God needs to begin to be the modern-day comfort food for somebody. Get off the Twinkies. Get in the meat of God and let it heal your life. We thought Hostess would be around forever, but they're bankrupt. We thought digital cameras was going to rule the world forever, but oh, somebody put in a smartphone. So you can't trust your provision in the world. We always thought we were going to be on gasoline, but one day we're going to run out. People are saying, well, go to natural gas. It's projected 100 years from now. It won't be here. So where is our trust? Has to be in God. And as long as we all are living, and even if you never came to another service here, as long as you're living and you have the provision of the Holy Ghost in your life, that Spirit of God that lives in you, you'll be able to give something in the time of need, whether it be in season, out of season. We were sitting at her house just waiting for church, and somebody comes in the door out of nowhere. I need prayer. So we pray. Are you ready to be that prepared to be in season? I feel like that we are. We just got to do it. We're prepared. We know the word. We feel his presence, but it's in your action that somebody else gets a touch. Don't be selfish in the riches of what God has blessed you with. Use it for somebody. A preacher is only a preacher when he preaches. We can't dwell on the good times of yesterday because you're living when? You're living today. This is you right now. This is your life right now. And what you do with it is how it's going to prosper you when you leave here. Let's not get satisfied in our riches, but satisfied in God.